nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Wednesdays, we most often try to allow more of the geopolitical and the financial things on Wednesday, moving forward with our 15 years of the real world of money with currency historian Andrew Goss, who's now left the playing field, as they say. So this morning is no exception. I think you all enjoy hearing from Joel Skousen. He's been around for quite a long time. JoelSkousen.com, also WorldAffairsBrief.com. He's a political scientist by training. He specializes in philosophy of law, constitutional theory. His latest book is called Strategic Location, Relocation, rather, North America's Guide to Safe Places. Well, obviously something to talk about. He's got a few books under his belt, Essential Principles for Conservation of Liberty, The Secure Home, How to Implement High Security Shelter in Your Home, and Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, as we said. Well, Mr. Skousen, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate you coming here.
My main endeavor now, of course, although Strategic Relocation in its new fourth edition is selling like hotcakes and hard to keep up with the printing. A lot of people are trying to get out of various big cities and Democratic-controlled cities, especially, and so it's the go-to book for people trying to relocate.
Yeah, yeah. You're out in Utah. Evidently, you felt like that was a good spot. Why?
Yeah, it's in the what I consider the highest security general area in the United States. That is what's called the Intermountain West, composed mostly of everything from northern Arizona to southern Idaho, including Utah and parts of Wyoming. These areas are 500 to 700 miles from any of the most populous areas, danger areas such as the Left Coast and Denver, Seattle, Portland area. Those are all very, very unstable areas where people are quickly losing their liberty.
Yes, sir. Do you think that just being away from the city an hour or so is going to be pretty good shot for most people listening around the world, just getting outside the city?
Well, you know, it's strategic relocation is a compromise in every example. For example, the safest place in the world is where there's no people to threaten you. You could be out in the middle of the deserts of Nevada, but there's no lifestyle. You'd have to drive 3 hours to get to a Home Depot. It'd be very difficult to build a retreat or build any kind of farm, self-sufficient solar energy generator operated farm if you're that far from civilization. So I have found that the optimal distance for people who don't have to commute to work daily is about an hour from the major metro, because it's out of walking distance, so that if there is a social breakdown or war, et cetera, which generally targets the cities, then you're far enough away, I think, to have some degree of safety. That doesn't mean that you don't still have to prepare for lack of food, water, energy, and other things that we talk about in my other books.
Yes, sir. When we built this house, Mr. Skousen, 25 years ago, I think my solar array, the whole package, was 25,000. I wonder today, can you give us an idea of maybe a 2,000 square foot home, or fridge, and, you know, just a basic ideas of what it would take dollar wise? Do you have a general dollar figure you could throw out there for off the grid?
Well, it just depends on what type of facilities that you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, it's very unlikely that a person is going to go with a full 100% solar powered system. And the reason is because it's very expensive. You're talking about $100,000 to do full solar with only solar.
Wow.
What I prefer when we design is we design a hybrid system whereby you have solar that's meant to operate about 30% of your household electricity, and then you have a generating system that will can be turned on a couple of times a day. Now we're talking about completely off-grid to power high-density items or like refrigeration and or air conditioning and things that you can, you know, cool down a house, a refrigerator, a freezer, and then shut down that generator and run off the solar mm-hmm. for the rest of the day when you're running very little electricity. So if a person goes to 100% in generation, the generator is going to be very, very big and very, very expensive, and the fuel supply is going to be large. And if you run 100% in solar, the amount of array that you're going to have in the battery backup system is going to be very, very expensive.
And the batteries don't last all that long, do they? Yeah. I think our batteries lasted six or 7 years. Do they?
The new batteries do.
Okay.
The new batteries, the lithium-ion batteries, are much better than the lithium-ion cobalt batteries like they use in the Tesla cars and things. These can cycle back up and down about 80% of their power almost 10,000 times. So they put lead acid batteries to shame. Now, lead acid batteries cost about, I would say 1/5 of what these lithium ion phosphate batteries, but they last so long that the cheapest battery per kilowatt for the lifetime over 10 years is still lithium ion phosphate, even though they're the most expensive to buy initially.
Yes, sir. Are you in favor at all of keeping the grid there and maybe using that at night and then going back, the Sunny Boy kind of system? Do you like those?
I always recommend people tie into the grid where possible. Except when the regulations are too onerous and when they want to control you. The biggest mistake that people make is having a grid tie only system, meaning that the solar, any power goes to the sells back to the solar, and then you buy power from the solar to run your house. Mm-hmm. Because when the grid goes down, you don't have any solar at all. You've got all these panels on your roof, but they're not able to feed into your home. Now, in the latest technology of inverters, have now inverters out there that can actually feed directly the solar into your grid and then only take from the power company when you need something extra.
Yes, sir.
And so that's a whole new revolution called self-consumption. And it used to be that you could do that, but everything you put in from the solar went to your batteries, and then everything that you used came from the battery. So you were using your batteries. But now the new technology is that you can feed directly from the inverted electricity from the panels to your electrical panel after your batteries are charged. And so you're not going through the battery, you're not depleting the battery unless you're starting to use more than what the solar panels are producing.
Do you lay all this out in your book that we mentioned that's available to people?
The Secure Home.
Yes,
all this is laid out in the Secure Home.
The Secure Home.
Fourth edition.
Yeah, yes. Architectural design, and you talk about the whole thing. Quite interesting. What about water source? Fan of rainwater collection?
Yes, we cover all of that in Secure Home.
Do you?
As well, rainwater collection, as well as using cisterns, wells, everything from hydraulic rams and water power. Most of these systems really are, you know, water power in particular is very, very difficult to maintain because of having to keep debris, you know, high and low water flows, etc. We basically almost only recommend solar and generators to run this hybrid system rather than going to wind or water power. For example, you know, a lot of people have a breezy day or two and they think they can have wind power.
Right.
Our rule of thumb is that unless you are uncomfortable most of the time outdoors with high winds, you don't have enough to really justify wind power.
Yes, sir.
You have to be uncomfortable with the amount of wind. And so it's not a good place to live.
Joe Skousen is with us. Patrick Timpone, if you care to join us, question or comment. He doesn't have a great deal of time this morning. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. So with everything that you see, and you write all about these things, Mr. Skousen, do you think there's a potential on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most confident, if you can give a number to some kind of just intense kind of a civil war kind of thing happening in our country, politically, you know, with the whole thing going on?
No, I do not anticipate a civil war because it's one-sided. We have a Marxist, communist, left-wing revolution against the establishment order in this country, but it's totally one-sided. There isn't any sentiment from the mainstream normal people to attack those people. It's simply one-sided. To have a true civil war, you've got to have two sides wanting to fight each other. And that doesn't exist. What does exist, though, is we have a deep state run by, it's the enforcement arm of a globalist conspiracy. And these people are funding the Black Lives Matter and the leftist violence in the country. They often, globalists for decades and decades, even over a century, have financed communism in order to break down the social order so that they can come in with their more moderate form of socialism and control. What appears more moderate is still draconian, but you know, they don't take over the means of production. They still tell you you're free. They still tell you you own your property, but they control it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the EU operates, and that's why Britain wanted out of the EU. They got betrayed, by the way, and they claim to be out, but they're not really out. There are secret agreements that keep them tied to the European Union. The globalists never let you out once you get in.
Right.
And they use puppet politicians like Boris Johnson to tell you, or Theresa May to tell you that you're free, or tell you that you've gotten out of the EU, but you haven't really.
Yes, sir.
So this is the problem that we're really facing with. What I can say is that with 100% certainty, a 10, you will see war with Russia and China by the end of this decade.
Really? Well, yeah, we've been hearing quite a bit about it. So there really is something going on here, more than just President Trump doing the tariffs and, you know, whatever he's doing with China. You think there's some deep-seated globalist kind of thing happening with these two?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that people, and I cover this in my weekly World Affairs Brief, which is on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com.
Yes, sir.
But in our government basically has been building these two enemies by allowing them to steal technology, by transferring technology to them. During the Clinton administration, the Commerce Department transferred lots of technology to China. They're basically building the best enemy money can buy. During the Nixon administration, we sold to the Soviet Union the miniature ball bearing technology so that they could put multiple warheads on their missiles. We sold that to them. In other words, we created the monster that now threatens us. Russia has, and if your readers had been watching my World Affairs Brief for many years, they would know that the collapse of the Soviet Union was a carefully crafted deception. The communists just went underground. Now, Boris Yeltsin, of course, was a drunk, and he was a puppet for them, the oligarchs, who were the original communist leaders, who came out in the open and became wealthy oligarchs. But when they put Vladimir Putin in, Putin overthrew the original oligarchs. He killed Boris Berezovsky in London. He exiled Guzinski and jailed Khodorkovsky. And so he's the new Stalin of Russia. And they do intend to still strike the West. And they are building huge stockpiles of missiles and weapons of mass destruction.
Wow.
While we dilly-dally around with Congress. And of course, China is on a massive building scale for military weapons. Both of these nations have hypersonic weapons. They're ahead of us in that regard. We are technically still a little more advanced, but they're catching up rapidly. And I'll tell you, they'll be ready by the latter half of this decade to strike the West. And I look for North Korea still to be the flashpoint that starts this war. And Donald Trump made a major mistake in believing Kim Jong-un was benign and
nice guy.
He failed. He said, you know, we're either going to solve this North Korea problem diplomatically or militarily. Diplomacy failed, and then Donald Trump failed to solve it militarily. But I can tell you that will come back to bite us someday when North Korea attacks South Korea. You'll see World War III within a week.
Joe Skousen is with us. If you care to join us, Patrick at 1RadioNetwork.com, 888-663-6386. Mr. Skousen, could I get you to pan your camera just a little bit to your left? Oh, yeah, we got you more centered. I was getting some of your face cut off there. Good, Good for you. So,
yes.
So I mean, and you're not the only one that's conjecturing this idea of a possible, you know, Russia-China thing. I mean, whoa, how do we Americans, and we have listeners all over the world, how do we protect ourselves from that kind of a deal if you're right? And you say you're on a 10, right, on a scale of 1 to 10 with that.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the war is coming because Russia and China do intend to strike the West. But what's interesting is they do not intend to destroy the West. So the notion of a worldwide nuclear war where there's a nuclear winter and everything dies, and that's just not true. Remember, the Russians and Chinas intend to live through this and survive it as well. They intend to strike only U.S. military targets and major nuclear facilities and submarine facilities in Europe in the first strike.
In the Europe.
Then they intend to blackmail the West into submission. Now, what most people don't understand is our globalist deep state intends to absorb that nuclear first strike. And the proof of that is in 1997, during the Clinton administration, the deep state rewrote the entire nuclear philosophy of the United States. And instead of the Reagan philosophy, which was to prepare to fight and win a nuclear war by launching on warning. And launching on warning means that when our satellites detect launches of missiles and we confirm that they're headed our way, we launch our missiles before their strike. So their missiles hit empty silos and our missiles then are in the air and they hit viable targets. So launch on warning is a very powerful nuclear doctrine because it means the one who launches second wins, not the one who launches first. Now, PDD 60, or Presidential Directive 60, stipulated to our American missile forces that they were to prepare to absorb a nuclear first strike and then retaliate afterward. It was a complete change in doctrine. They were not, I repeat, not to rely on launch on warning. And the only reason we found out about this secret thing is because the Washington Post published an article said we could still launch on warning. And Craig Cernillo of Arms Control Today, who helped write this secret order, said, no, that's not true. There will be no launch on warning. We are going to absorb a nuclear first strike as a gesture of good. We have no hostile intent. Well, that's suicide. General Butch Neal of the Marine Corps said, retaliate with what? After you've absorbed a nuclear first strike, your missiles are all gone except for your ballistic missile submarines, which don't have warheads big enough to penetrate hardened target. And in addition, in 1997, that same year, President Bill Clinton said, as a gesture of goodwill to the Soviet Union, we're going to agree to keep 50% of our submarines in port at any one time to make them more vulnerable to attack, just to show the world that we have no hostile intentions. I mean, can you imagine that?
Clinton did that.
How stupid that is.
Clinton did that.
Well, you see, Clinton was a puppet. So Clinton was just following orders from the deep state, which has existed for many, many years in the United States. People just know about it. And by the way, the deep state is not a bunch of Clinton or Obama holdovers in the Trump administration trying to remove the president. The deep state is a lethal conspiracy within government. It controls every major agency in government, including FBI and CIA. There's a dark side of the DA, and the people on the white side, the good guys in the CIA, don't even know that the dark side exists. Or if they do, they're not allowed to talk about it. But these people killed Kennedy. They ran the 9/11 attack on America. They hired the terrorists. They put the explosives in the building. So this deep state is a lethal, deadly organization, deeply in control. They control judges, about 75% of Congress. They control the NSA, and that's what domestic spying is all about, is to keep congressmen and judges in control. This is a very serious situation. And American, of course, that's what Donald Trump talks about when draining the swamp, taking down the deep state. But unfortunately, Donald Trump came to the office of president with good instincts, but nothing else. He has no background. He has no experience. He has no legal arguments. He knew no conservatives. So when there were 4,000 jobs in the White House to to fill in the West Wing of the White House. He didn't know anybody, so he goes to the Republican establishment as part of the deep state, and they pick the people for the White House. And that's why Donald Trump has been sabotaged for these last 4 years by the people that, I mean, he just doesn't know who's deep state and isn't. He replaces James Comey, who's deep state, with Christopher Wray, who is deep state. He replaced Attorney General Sessions with Bill Barr, who is deep state. Now, Bill Barr's playing up to the president, playing conservative. But I can tell you, the investigation with John Durham about Comey and Hillary Clinton and the email scandal and the Russiagate scandal, I can guarantee you none of that will come to fruition. There will be no prosecutions. It'll all go away when Donald Trump is unelected this coming November. Not that I'm in favor of that. I'm just saying this powerful deep state is not going to tolerate a president that they don't control. I mean, they have to work hard to manipulate the president.
Has there ever been, in your opinion,
they are successful.
In your opinion, Mr. Skousen, has there ever been a president in our lifetime, you and I probably go back to Ike and Kennedy, you know, those years, that's got in without approval from these people? Trump?
Yes. Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. Those were the only two. The only two. Now, Ronald Reagan was hampered by the fact that they talked him into accepting George H.W. Bush, who was his presidential opponent during the campaign, into being his vice president, and that George H.W. Bush would control the personnel in the White House. Ronald Reagan agreed to that in a deal because the three heads of the media threatened that they would destroy him in the campaign trail if he didn't accept George H.W. Bush, who's deep state. George H.W. Bush is deep state. He was head of the CIA, the dark side of it. And so he sabotaged the Reagan presidency, and Reagan resisted the first 2 years of his presidency, and that's why they ended up trying to assassinate the president. Well, it didn't work, but they did send a strong message, and he and Nancy Reagan became paranoid after that, and they started going into the occult and to Gene Dixon, another spiritualist, trying to get protection, which was very, very sad. But Ronald Reagan was a true conservative. He wrote his own speeches, unlike other presidents. But Donald Trump, even though he's not, wasn't a real experienced conservative, he's a populist. He really isn't conservative per se. He doesn't write his own speeches. He doesn't ever do any homework. He has relied on briefings all his life long as a wealthy executive, and that's why he's hampered. Now, his instincts keep driving him back to the truth, but he keeps getting talked out of it because he doesn't have the arguments to come up against these sophisticated globalist advisors that surround him.
So can we assume then that the people, I know he has a lot of respect, Mr. Skousen, for the military, that the boys that he listens to, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the military people, are they all deep state kind of bought and paid for, and you don't get into that job unless you are?
It's a little more complex than that.
Okay.
There is a vetting system in the National War Colleges. Nobody gets to be general officer in the military anymore unless they go through, of course, the National War College system, where they're taught and propagandized by Georgetown professors who are mostly globalists. There are several different levels of war colleges in the military, and I can tell you that if they show any resistance to the globalist doctrines that are taught there, they never get general officers, or they never get above one star. Generally, they try to weed them out by the time they're colonel, so that you never have anyone, and every single high-ranking officer to this very day is a globalist. Some are worse than others, and some go along just because they don't have the courage to fight back, and they come out and protest once they're retired. But even then, their retirement is threatened if they become too vocal against deep state and globalism. So
yes,
I don't have any respect for the high-ranking military officers.
We talk a lot about our health and here, and also money. What is the connection between this, what you call the deep state, and the bankers, you know, the ECB and the Fed and the Bank of Japan and this crowd, and also Big Pharma? Are they all meet and sit with each other and kind of play golf with each other?
No, it's not that obvious. There is linkage. There are key people within the hierarchy of big pharma and the CDC and the WHO, et cetera, mm-hmm. which are globalists. They're the ones that transfer the order to come, whoever's giving the order, you know, at the level of Henry Kissinger and George Soros and other, the Rothschilds and others who give these orders. Nobody knows really who's running the show at the very, very top. But we do know that there's a conspiracy because of the cover-up that have occurred in various government false flag operations and wars, et cetera, falsifying those things. But there's a great relation. I mean, Big Pharma is clearly connected to the deep state. It's a massive conspiracy against natural health remedies, which work in favor of drug therapies. Nothing is more symptomatic of this than this exaggerated pandemic. This is not a dangerous virus to normal people, only to chronically ill and immunodeficient people. The test is completely bogus. That's what's driving this agenda, all these so-called infections. But I'll tell you, when 80 to 90% of people who test positive don't have any symptoms and never get any symptoms, you know the test isn't valid. Either that, if it is valid, then it's not a dangerous virus. You can't have it both ways.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
I mean, yeah. This whole notion, they've had to create a whole new theory that asymptomatic people are dangerous, so you got to all wear masks and social distance. This is ludicrous. And it's just shocking to me, Patrick, how duped the American people have been, how easily they were deceived into going along with this and still going along with it. Into the propagandizing
that's a real concern,
people.
Right, sir? That's a real concern that so many people, God love them, they have just bought this whole thing and just are scared and doing what the government says. That's a concern, right?
We have too much honor for the medical profession. People don't realize that the establishment medical profession is absolutely ruthless in its demand that everyone kowtow to the establishment medical protocols. In California, it is illegal to treat cancer with anything but chemotherapy and radiation.
We've heard that, yes.
I mean, and those both destroy the immune system. I mean, it's just criminal. Doctors can be prosecuted. They lose their license for trying to treat cancer naturally or with nutrition, which does work, especially, you know, thyroid
sure.
therapy. But,
sure.
you know, there is a major conspiracy involved in Big Pharma, and it's really sad what's happening, but I just have a gut feeling they never intend to let us free again from this threat of a pandemic. They can pull it anytime they want. They've got another one up their sleeve coming in the next year or so, and it's just going to be one justification. I think what they're doing really is getting people used to living constantly under emergency orders, because that's what's going to happen when war comes. You think the COVID shutdown was bad. Think when war comes and our own government allows that first strike to fall. And the reason, by the way, why they're going to let that first strike fall, the whole purpose of PDD 60 is that's the way they get us, the United States of America, into a militarized global government.
Oh,
you can see.
Create the problem and then we have a solution for you.
That's right. It's the Hegelian dialectic. They create the problem. They give you a false solution.
Yes, sir.
So the problem is the entire Western world depends on the U.S. military to save itself from Russia and China. So if that military is decapitated by allowing a first strike to land on military bases only, not cities,
mm-hmm.
so it's not going to be a total mm-hmm. conflagration, then our leaders come out of their bunkers, which they're building and modernizing as we speak. Notice they're not warning you about nuclear war, but they know it's coming. They come out of their bunkers and say, our military has been destroyed. The only way we can prosecute this war against Russia and China is to join together in a militarized global government. And that's how we get it. And nobody will say nay. Nobody. It'll be just like COVID all over. Oh, the doctors say this. The military says that we've got to join this. And we don't have any electricity. Remember, this first strike by Russia and China is preceded by an EMP strike, which takes
you mean
out
one of those
grid.
Yeah. I mean, the grid goes.
Yeah.
Would that take out, Mr. Skousen, the internet?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
So you see, when going to digital currency now,
Yes, sir.
And the banks purposely withdrawing coinage and cash from society to force stores to take only credit cards. We're heading for digital currency only. Everything that's for tracking and surveillance, but it's also for the fact that I'll tell you, when the internet goes down, you don't have anything. If you're a believer in Bitcoin or any of the other,
what are you going to do?
You're out of luck if the internet goes down.
So I
and
take
the internet is going down. And
I take it you're a hard money guy in possession, gold, silver.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I'm in favor of gold and silver. The problem is, though, now that it's going to be so difficult for people to go back to gold and silver because nobody knows how to verify it. In fact, it's very difficult to verify.
If you get the bars.
You've got counterfeit gold or silver. It's very, very difficult. And so it'll be very difficult to come back into real, honest money when there is this war coming. So
here's an email
from
Jose. I'm enjoying your guest. I just don't understand, if he's correct about the deep state, why and how did they allow Donald Trump to get in? You know, that's a good question, right? I mean, they thought Hillary, you know, right? Did they just blow it, do you think, or?
Yeah, they did. Now, remember, the deep state heretofore has controlled about 10% of the votes. They can corrupt and control about 10% of the vote with voting machine manipulation, but they're limited to about 10% because of exit polling. In other words, exit polling is far more accurate than regular polling. And if they distort it more than about 10%, the exit polls show such a divergence that people would realize that the election was a fraud. So in the case of Donald Trump's election, they did not anticipate the backlash of the ordinary people against the Democratic rule for so many years of Barack Obama and what Hillary Clinton represented. And so Donald Trump actually did win by the skin of his teeth through the Electoral College. Now, they're not going to allow that to happen. That's one of the reasons why they're going to
the mail-in.
Vote by mail. That's one of the reasons for the COVID phony crisis. Is to justify vote by mail and no debates and no getting together so that they can manipulate this election. But in reference to what Jose said, the deep state did not allow Donald Trump. He got in spite of them. They were shocked. I mean, Hillary Clinton was expecting hands down to win, and it didn't happen. So they have been working to manipulate and control this uncontrollable president for the past 3 years, and they've been able to manipulate him regularly, but he keeps changing his mind, so they have to reconvince him. And that's why they want Donald Trump out. He hasn't drained the deep state. He's done a few good things, but most of his campaign has not been fulfilled. But what he has done, he has slowed down the deep state agenda. He slowed them down, and they can't stand that. They want another puppet president in here so they can go full speed ahead.
Yes, sir. So
that's what they're going to get.
If Mr. Trump wins in November, would there be any way with enough people that you could take out some of these people and get back to some semblance of reality of our government? And I mean, is it even possible?
Let me explain why that's not possible.
Okay. Good.
All right. Even if I were president, with all my knowledge about the deep state,
yes, sir,
and who's who,
mm-hmm,
you'd still have to have the hard evidence against them. That means you'd have to get the NSA to tap all of their phones of the suspects that we know about the deep state. But the NSA is run by the deep state. They would come back and tell you there's nothing there. And what would you do? You send people who don't know what they're doing down to the NSA to take over the wiretapping, and it would take months to do that.
Yes, sir.
And even if they got the evidence, the deep state controls most of the judges in the country at the highest levels, and they would refuse to prosecute. They also have blackmail on about 75% of the members of Congress through their moral problems and peccadillos. Some of them are pedophiles, some of them are homosexuals, and they've got blackmail on all those people.
All right.
They blackmail people from the beginning of their political career at state government so that they can go way, way back and control people. So it would be almost impossible to root out the deep state just because they control most of the CIA, FBI, DEA, NSA, all of these national reconnaissance. I mean, there are people on the white side who do the day-to-day work of these organizations, but there's a dark side to every one of these major law enforcement agencies of government. I mean, look what they did to cover up for 9/11. When you look at the loading of the building and explosives and, you know, the modifications of the airplanes and the things that they did, and they cover all of that up, took a massive effort to divert the military so they could not intercept these planes, took a massive conspiracy. And the terrorists couldn't have done that. The terrorists couldn't have loaded the explosives in the buildings. It had to be the deep state. They're the only one who had access to all of that.
I mean, to this day, there's all kinds of films of first responders and fire people saying, well, here's what we heard. Boom, 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 boom. There were charges of thermite or whatever that blew the thing down. And if you look at the film, it's obvious that two planes didn't do that. But Americans, it's like watching JFK and the Zapruder film saying that Lee Harvey Oswald did it from the back. It's just this disconnect that it's hard to imagine.
Yeah, it's because Americans, you know, are too busy or too lazy to really get the kind of information that's available on the alternate news surfaces of the internet. Now, with that said, the deep state is expert at feeding false conspiracies and bogus information into the internet just to muddy the waters so that they can debunk things and get people so that they don't trust what's on the internet. And that's one of the things I try to do with my World Affairs Brief is let people know what's true about conspiracy, what isn't true, what's bogus. And it's a very sophisticated and difficult process. And I won't say I always get it perfect, but I do my best. And I've generally got a pretty good track record of watching these things.
So you're talking about, stick with 9/11 for a second, Mr. Skousen, the idea that they put out all these false narratives of, oh, the planes were hologram or whatever, just to make the whole thing seem really strange, really tinfoil hat.
Yeah, exactly. And so on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, I've got, you know, on my right-hand side, there's a column called 9/11 Update, and it's a little out of date now, but it still has most of the best arguments about proving that it had to be an operation.
So would that be a triple prong kind of thing of control and taking off your shoes at the airport and walking in lines, as well as creating terrorism, this brand of terrorism?
Yes. In fact, you know, the two major things about all of the things that the TSA used to justify their existence at the airport, were false flag operations. The shoe bomber and the crotch bomber, both were patsies that were mind controlled and put on airplanes. They weren't trained terrorists. A trained terrorist would know that you cannot ignite C4 explosive with a match. Any Marine corporal knows that you take C4 tabs off of mortar rounds and you cook your chow with them. You light them with a match. I mean, you can't tell me that a trained terrorist would try to ignite C4 in his crotch or in his shoe with a match. And so, you know, this is all contrived, just like this COVID-19 is contrived to get us used to giving up our essential liberties and our freedom.
So in your opinion, are you seeing this social distancing masking thing really playing out even into 21 and not letting up on this?
Yeah, it does appear that they're not going to let up. Now, we won't know until after the election.
All right.
We know for certain that they want to keep the economy down, and this is one of the ways to keep the economy down. Now, if they keep it going after Donald Trump, then you know, and I suspect there is a globalist agenda, because they're forcing every Western country to enforce this mask and social distancing junk. And that means there's a globalist agenda here. And even Henry Kissinger says and comes out, unless you establish a new world order, you're not going to get past this COVID pandemic. In other words, he's saying, you know, this has got to be controlled on a worldwide level. So there's a bigger agenda than Donald Trump. And unfortunately, if Joe Biden gets in, he'll be just a yes man to every mandate that the medical tyrants want to impose upon
us. Well, speaking of Biden, sir, it just doesn't seem reasonable that if they, the deep state, really wanted Mr. Biden to win, or really wanted that party to win, the Democrat Party, that they've got to come up with somebody. Poor guy. I mean, he's obviously have mental problems. I mean, he couldn't debate Donald Trump. It would be a tragedy. I don't understand that. Couldn't they have found somebody else?
Well, I have long said in the World Affairs brief that I thought that Joe Biden was holder, meaning that he was just there right now. I expected him to pick Hillary Clinton as a vice president so that he could step down due to mental problems, and then she has a vengeance.
Sure.
She wants to be president. Now, the interesting thing about picking Kamala Harris is that she's not eligible to run for president.
She's not?
She's not eligible. No. She is not a natural-born citizen. She was born of two non-citizen immigrants. So she was not a natural-born citizen. She is not qualified, but either was Barack Obama. And they covered up the qualifications for president during Barack Obama, and they're going to do it with Kamala Harris. So, is powerful.
Yeah, that's interesting information. So if Mr. Biden would win and she's in there, and then he gets sick and or whatever, so could she legally, and I know you study the Constitution, could she constitutionally, in your opinion, be put in place, or would they have to pick somebody else, like Hillary or Michelle or somebody?
Well, I don't think Michelle is a viable candidate just because she's got no experience.
Right.
You know, she's got plenty of name recognition, but she didn't have any experience.
Could the VP move up with a with her citizenship issue? Do you know?
Well, technically, she cannot become president because of the natural-born citizen thing. Now, whether or not they would enforce it is my doubt.
You know,
whether or not they would make an issue. I mean, people are making an issue of it on the internet, and the media is not picking it up. Now, I'm sure the professional debunkers of the deep state, like Snopes.com and others, will try to debunk this, but you can't debunk it. Her parents were not citizens when she was born, and so she is not a natural born. It's just cut and dried. Now, whether or not that's used to replace her, if the media lets it come out, maybe that's going to be an excuse to replace her with someone like Hillary. But I just don't see Kamala Harris floating this. But you are absolutely right about Joe Biden.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Joe Biden is going to get crucified if he ever debates Trump, which that's why they don't want to let him debate Trump. They're going to use the COVID-19 to keep Joe Biden. But, you know, Joe Biden has lied. In Friday's World Affairs brief, I'm going to be putting out the videos of Joe Biden lying. He claimed that he had 3 degrees from university. He claimed he graduated top in his class from Harvard Law School. He claimed all these things. And then 2 weeks later, he had to admit when people did a fact check on it. And it's all over the mainstream news. This is 20, 30 years ago, you know, and they said Joe Biden lied. He was not top of his class. He graduated 76 out of 89 in his class.
So,
meaning in the lowest portions.
Here's an interesting one. Steve says, well, why wouldn't they just do a virtual debate so they could get around the COVID issue? That's a good point.
Yeah. That's what I don't think they've got an excuse not to debate. But
yeah.
I know that if they do a virtual debate, by the way, it's going to be much easier to falsify and feed the questions and answers to Biden. You can have a screen in front of him feeding him the answers so he doesn't make any verbal faux pas. So I do agree with Steve that, yes, if there are debates, they're going to be virtual so that they can help Joe Biden get through them.
Oh, so they could have one of these little what do they call them? Teleprompters, right? The glass things that you can't see.
Yes, exactly.
And they could just just type the answers.
That's exactly right. And you can't tell if it's going to be a virtual debate.
So a couple more things before you go. So I'm curious, you talked about that first strike in the military, which is interesting, but are you folks who are not out there in the, you know, the broad Midwest kind of, which is attractive, you get in that area of Nevada and all the rockets and are out there, aren't they? I mean, aren't you getting closer to the belly of the beast out in the West with all the military things out there?
Well, the military is not really the belly of the beast.
I mean, that's where you said they might strike, Mr. Skousen, right?
Well, yes. Now, I mean, there are military targets out there in the West. They're all over the United States.
Yes.
And so in my books, I do recommend everybody needs to prepare against fallout. Now, fallout is fairly easy to prepare against.
It
requires some concrete shielding overhead. And my book, the High Security Shelter book, by the way, is complete architectural drawings on how to do that in an existing base. It only costs about $3,000 to $5,000 in materials if you do it yourself. And you should do it yourself because you don't want to get a building permit for a shelter or even have the plans on the building permit. You don't want to do a permit, basically. And what you do within your own basement, a room within the basement that's concealable, is going to give you a great deal of safety, not only from radiation, but from social unrest. If people come searching through your house or breaking in, if you've got a concealed safe room with a strong door and built up concrete, they're not going to find your weapons. They're not going to find your food storage. They're not going to find your valuables, your gold or silver, et cetera. And so that's a very valuable situation.
But concrete.
Right. There's lots of military. Yeah, concrete. It takes about 10 inches minimum concrete or 8 inches, depending on where you are. Now, I don't recommend people get close enough to a military base that they need blast protection. Blast protection is what they call a bunker. And I don't believe in bunkers, just safe rooms. You want to have a fallout protection, and concealment is much more powerful than, I mean, if you're close enough within 10 miles of a military base that you need a bunker, you need to strategically relocate. Yeah. Why put $100,000 into a bunker when you can use that money to move? I mean, let's be smart about it. Move if you're closer than 10 miles to a military target. And in my book, Strategic Relocation, I do designate all of the main military targets in the country.
Rob wants to know.
Some of them are huge, like Sam.
Rob wants to know if there are some states that you could mention that are safer than others that I could begin to look to.
Well, yes. In the East Coast, the state of Tennessee is probably the safest within the East Coast.
Wow.
Florida's a zero-rated state. New Jersey and New York are zero-rated states.
What does that mean, zero? What does that mean, zero, not good?
Well, I rate every state in strategic relocation from 1 to 5.
Okay.
And a zero-rated state means that's a no-go state.
Okay.
You don't go and I will say now, because of the new fourth edition, I mean, Colorado, for example, once it became Democratic-controlled, got downgraded from a 4-star state to a 2-star state. And people have to remember that Denver, Colorado, is the second headquarters of the deep state. When they have to leave Washington, D.C. because it gets hit with nuclear weapons, they're going to the Denver area. And that's where a lot of your deep state individuals, retirees from the CIA and the FBI and NSA, have built special hardened safe rooms in their cabins in the mountains of Colorado. But under that Denver airport, the rumors are really true. There is
sure.
a major underground bunker system under the Denver airport. And that's the second headquarters for the deep state.
Emily
so
wants.
Colorado's not a good state.
Not a good state. So five. What are the five states?
Well, there are no more 5-star states. Utah and Idaho used to be the 2 5-star states that had the highest rating. They've been downgraded to 4.5 stars
mm-hmm.
because their mainstream Republican governors went along with this phony pandemic. The only state that increased in its rating was South Dakota.
Because of
went up half
the
a star.
The governor there, right?
And Yeah, because of Governor Christie refusing to shut down the state. But generally speaking, Tennessee is the best state for those in the East who have to stay near the East Coast. In the Midwest, Chicago's the real problem. You have to get far enough away from Chicago. There are places, you know, in western Nebraska and Idaho, or not Idaho, but Iowa and Oklahoma. And the Ozark areas, for example, in eastern Oklahoma or Arkansas.
That's pretty good, huh?
Are pretty good areas as well. But because of the overall population densities not only being high in the East Coast, where most of the cities have 1,000 people per square mile, even in the Midwest, if you look at night, there's just lights all over the place. In other words, it's not quite as good as the far West. I'm talking about Utah and Idaho, where the population density is 35 people per square mile.
They've been talking about Yellowstone for years. I mean, 20 years. Do you think there's any issue there with that? Do we know?
Oh yeah,
really?
Clearly, the biggest caldera in the United States is in the Yellowstone area, and it is a threat of blowing its top. And that's why the areas east of Yellowstone in Wyoming are not very good because they're going to be directly downwind. Utah and Idaho are north and south and east and west of Yellowstone, and the winds hardly ever blow in that direction. So I don't think that they're going to be at risk. The problem with Montana, for example, which has a lot of really good ranch areas and mountainous areas, is that they're downwind of the big missile fields in Great Falls, Montana. Hundreds and hundreds of missile silos, which will have a huge cloud of fallout that goes east from there, as well as North Dakota, the missile fields there. And then in the junction of Nebraska, Wyoming, and South Dakota, you have all those missile fields of east of Cheyenne. And all that fallout is going east or northeast or southeast, depending on which way the wind is blowing.
So, Mr. Skousen...
And that's one of the reasons...
Excuse me for interrupting. Mr. Skousen, so which one of your four books would be the best go-to to really look at these locations in detail? The strategic location, the latest edition?
Oh, yes. Strategic relocation is where all the colored maps are.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a colored map of every state of the union telling all of the land use, what's government-owned, what's Indian-owned, what's private land,
wow,
where the nuclear targets are, where the nuclear power plants are, where all the threats are, as well as the common wind directions. And then I have some general maps of the entire United States showing tornadoes, earthquakes, nuclear targets, et cetera, and regional, best safe areas in region.
So, with all,
I also cover Canada.
Yeah, with all your years of research, Joel Skousen, on a 10, 1 to 10 confident, you really utter 10 that there's going to be some kind of a nuclear strike on the military bases from China and Russia. You're there at a 10. How did you get there? Just by looking at everything?
Well, you have to understand, I've been a student of communism for many years. You have to understand that there is a rabid hatred of the West endemic in communism. And the Chinese have a worse thing, even worse than the Russians. They have a superiority complex. They believe they are the superior race. They put Hitler to shame. I mean, they actually believe that they despise the West. They believe they're the smartest, the brightest, the everything. And they really feel it's their destiny to control the entire world. In other words, you have three predator centers in the world. You have the Anglo-American conspiracy that we deal with. We have the Chinese conspiracy and the Russian conspiracy to take over the world. Every one of them want to run their own version of the New World Order. Russia and China are temporarily allied to take down the West, and they know they'll have to fight it out after the West destroyed. My theory is that the U.S., knowing that, will tempt China by making a deal with China during the Third World War to betray Russia, and that Russia will be betrayed just as Hitler was betrayed by Russia at its rear and the United States and the Allies at the front, with China at its rear and the Allies coming into Russia. Russia could not possibly survive the Third World War. And then, of course, China becomes the new Cold War enemy, and that justifies keeping global military intact and not going back, not allowing us to go back to individual sovereignty. I think that's what the big plan is.
Wow. Here's an email from Lisa. Hi, Patrick. Could you please ask your guest about Silicon Valley? I've been told that this area would not be a military target due to high-tech companies being there. Any area of California that are safe?
There are no areas, well, I can't say no areas. Nothing in California is safe because of the political climate there. You're going to lose your liberty completely in California, as you are right now. They'll eventually have complete gun bans, won't have any free speech at all. Now, if it weren't for that, you could find, there are many, many potential safe areas in Sierra Nevadas. But because of these population centers emptying out, that's why Silicon Valley is not safe. Because entire complex of San Francisco during an EMP strike when there's no electricity will start to empty out and pillage in waves coming out and completely engulf Silicon Valley with pillaging and social unrest. It'll be a Mad Max scenario within a week or two with no electricity, no food deliveries. You can imagine what it would be like. And so you have to get beyond the Sierras into the Intermountain West in order to be able to survive the social unrest that's going to come from these problems. So for political reasons, I don't think there's any safe areas in California anymore. Actually, Northern California used to be some very good safe areas above Interstate 80 into the High Sierras in that area. Northern California is much less population density than Southern California. But now the entire state is at risk because of Governor Newsom and his edicts.
Carol says, I live in Sedona. Oh, Arizona. Am I good here?
Well, Sedona, its problem is it's still a little too close to Phoenix. Phoenix is a huge problem area, and when it empties out, I can guarantee you they're going to flood Sedona with refugees.
Empties out because?
So in northern Arizona, yeah, you really have to get up, you know, into the Sholow and Springerville area and, you know, Flagstaff to have any distance away from Phoenix area. That's my feeling. Sedona is also very expensive now because a lot of the elite from Phoenix are leaving that area and buying in the Sedona area.
Yeah.
So, but if you live in Sedona, all right, the important point I point out in my book, Strategic Relocation, you need to get to an area where you're not visible from a major secondary road. You want to have basement space with concealed safe room so that if you do have flows of refugees come forward, you can get out of the way instead of having to or defend your property directly.
Finally, this is from CJ. This is pretty depressing. I'm enjoying the show, but I'm not feeling very safe. I mean, does your guest think that there could be anything that would stop and lower his level of confidence of something like this happening to a 5? What could happen? What would have to happen, I guess, is what he's saying.
Now, I'm not sure I understand.
In other words, he's saying, what would have to happen to get your confidence level of a 10 of this kind of first strike thing happening down to a 5 or something? What would have to happen in the world?
Well, what would have to happen is you'd have to elect a president who would really vigorously cut off trade with China, because that trade has helped China to build this military monstrosity. And to beef up our military so that there's sufficient deterrent, and to change the military doctrine. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't even know about PD-60. They haven't told him. So you need to openly change the doctrine and say, we will launch on warning. We will not absorb a nuclear first strike. Then you give fair warning as a deterrence to Russia and China not to use that strike. But it may well be too late in the sense of...
Did we lose you there a second? Oh, no, you're still there.
I'm still here.
Doesn't it seem though strange that a fellow like you and all the research, and there's other people that could know all this and the president could not? I mean, I don't understand that.
Well, you got to remember they keep the president surrounded by information filters so that, he doesn't have, remember, he's never done any homework. His only homework is to watch Fox News on television. News is a denier of all things conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to get conservative views, but if it's not on Fox News, he won't talk about it. Have you ever heard about PDD-60 on Fox News? Have you ever heard about our vulnerable situation? You've never heard any.
Of course not.
You've never heard on Fox News about the conspiracy of 9/11 or the JFK assassination. Because, Sean Hannity will deny it. Bill Riley before him was a conspiracy denier.
Right.
What these indicate are, and Tucker Carlson is not a conspiracy denier. In fact, he gets the closest of them. I really like Tucker, but he knows that they've told him on Fox News, you don't touch conspiracy. They've threatened him.
You can't go too far, right?
He is a believer.
Yeah. Some people are talking about the possibility of some UFO kind of alien thing to really scare people in the fall. Do you think that's possibly on the table?
Well, UFOs actually exist, and they are not, in my opinion, U.S. military secret operations.
They're not.
And the reason I say that is because they violate the laws of physics. They make 90-degree turns at hypersonic speeds. You can't do that with human beings.
Right.
You can't even do that with mechanical machines in the U.S. It self-destructs that type of thing. So these are not from this earth, but that leads us to questions which, I don't have the answer to about what controls them. and why they don't actively interfere, even though they're obviously showing up regularly. I just don't have the answers to that, but I know that God that controls this earth is a testing place for humanity, and he somehow has some restrictions around this planet, doesn't let the alien forces actually directly interfere. But I do not believe the conspiracy theories that talk about reptilians talking with our generals and giving them the technology and stuff. I just don't believe that. I think that's false.
Finally, what do you make about the president saying something like, you're not going to see much of me in the future? Do you think they're threatening him?
You know, I...
That was interesting,
I think,
wasn't
Donald
it?
Trump... I think they mess with Donald Trump because he doesn't have a background. I think they tell him certain things, and they're getting to the point where they probably threaten him to a certain extent. And so he may make some of these statements, but I think they're just going to let him muddle through until the election where he's unelected, and then he'll go away. But, you know, it's sad to see. I mean, Donald Trump has been slowing them down. I'm certainly, you know, going to vote for Donald Trump's reelection, even though I don't have any confidence in doing, because the other choice is absolutely untenable to vote for a Democrat. No. I won't do.
Well, it's a pleasure having you here. It was great fun talking to you, Mr. Skousen. So your two places to go are worldaffairsbrief.com, and you can, people, do they sign up to get the newsletter? Is that how that works?
Yes, it is a subscription-based newsletter. It's about $1 a week, $48 a year.
Cool.
And people can get a free sample copy of the current issue on the explosion in Beirut by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
Editor.
That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And I'll give them send them a free sample issue.
Okay, one word answer before you go. Who was behind that Beirut thing? Do you know? Do we know?
Israel.
Oh. I knew you were going to say that. God love them. All right, Mr. Skousen, thanks for being here. It's an honor having you on the show.
My pleasure, Patrick.
Thank you, sir. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. I think I can put mine on here. Come on, Patrick. You can do this? Really? There you go. Joe Skousen. This is the first time I've talked to him. I've read his things over the years, and quite interesting. Boy, the whole nuclear thing, though, wow. Well, you know what we do around here is we hope for the best and prepare for the worst, so we'll do all of that as we move forward, regardless of what happens in November. So stick around here. We'll just kind of keep our ear to the ground and see what we can think about and talk about and give you some ideas on how to protect yourself, regardless of what happens or if nothing happens or who knows. But we certainly do a lot of shows on the financial system. And if you understand that, I think it's a big leap. So go into our archives, look at Put in Gold and Silver, Fred Dashefsky, Tom Luongo. We have a lot of good people there. And we'll continue to try to understand what's going on in the real world of money. And so many shows that are on our website, 12 years of shows called The Real World of Money with Andrew Goss. If you're new, go into our website, OneRadioNetwork.com, click on the archives of One Radio. You'll see the shows and then The Real World of Money. And believe me, you will find so much information there. I listened to some of these old shows, and it's really been the motivation and the background and the real help that I needed to just complete this screenplay, which is all about the monetary system that I've completed. So great information there. Andrew was so good at explaining how this all works, where the bodies are buried, how the money game works. And by understanding that, just like we understand, you know, the health and how the whole soul, mind, body thing works, it gives us a better opportunity to protect ourselves financially, emotionally, spiritually, and that covers it all, doesn't it? So, okay, only one show today. We had somebody lined up, but that didn't work out. Most times we have two shows a day, but I'll have a short day. Well, I've been here since 6, so I've got things to do. I will see you on Friday. with Open Phone Friday. We're offering a couple of nice prizes for first-time callers. But come by, let us know what you think about the way of the world and how you're doing and how we can help you. Thanks for your ongoing support. Didn't run any commercials this morning. I just didn't feel like it. But go onto our website, One Radio Network. We have some great, great sponsors. Terrific products, everything from the Browns Gas Hydrogen Machine, which I think is probably the most exciting technology I've come across since studying natural health in 40 years, and I mean that. That's Sir Thrival. They have the Prime Pollen on sale, Shen Blossom, the Aloe, the Rebounder, the Sauna. Cool stuff. Really great products. So if we can help you in any way to learn more about these products, my email is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Okay. I love you guys. Thank you. Prepare for the worst. Hope for the best. Because the best is going to happen, and then you got all the worst stuff covered. I'll see you on Friday. I love you. May the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.